This week on a Scottless episode of The Grid, we've got Jefferson Graham joining us, the photo walk and iPhone master. We're going to be talking about all about the iPhone and workflows, backup strategies, storage, all that stuff. And it starts in just 23.7 seconds. Let's go.
Grid is brought to you by Platypod, the tripod alternative that is changing the world. Everybody has a Platypod. You should too. Go to platypod.com.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to The Grid. As you can see, Scott is not here today. He is up at the B&H conference up there in New York, teaching all about portraits, and that's their portrait wedding conference up there, Depth of Field Conference in New York. You can go check it out. I believe he has, he's got two classes today that he'll be teaching, and you can check it out over there on B&H's website. But we're here with Jefferson. Hey, Jefferson, how's it going?
Eric. Yeah, great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you here.
I know you play the guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
I write lots of books.
Yeah.
I'll just be Scott.
Yeah, right? There you go. You can be Scott for a week. There you go. Yeah, so you're here in town.
Yes, I am.
So you are filming classes for Kelby One, right?
Three of them.
So got a lot of classes for Kelby One. And we're also doing a cool conference coming up that we just announced last week. We just announced to the previous members last week, and now it's open to the public this week, and that is the iPhone Photography Conference. Really excited about this one. I know you'll be teaching there, right?
Yes. Yeah. This is the sequel to last year.
This is the sequel to, and it was actually a couple years ago now, so it's been a year and a half since we did it. So a lot of updates since then, new phones, new features, all that stuff. And what's great about the iPhone is that it really has the potential or the power to really all those things that you can do with it, that it's become one of those devices where you can capture so much with just what's in your pocket.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Every time I show people, one of the biggest questions I always get is, you didn't really take that with the iPhone, did you?
I get that all the time.
Actually, I did.
Yes.
And pretty much, except for sports and except for close-ups.
Yep.
Close-ups as in zoom across the room.
Yeah, telephoto.
Telephoto, yeah. Right.
Yeah. I would agree. There always are going to be limitations. If we know those limitations, as you guys watch this show, that's what it's all about. It's less about this piece of gear or that piece of gear. It is the limitations of that gear. For example, what you're pointing out, this has always been a critique that I know Scott and I have had a big critique on the iPhone on, is they won't put in a real telephoto.
Right.
And I really want them to put in a real telephoto.
That would be nice.
That would be nice, because that would just open it up. Now, not to say, I have telephoto lenses. When I have to do telephoto work, I'm going to pick up the other cameras, right?
Yeah.
But it is nice to have that like 200 millimeter every once in a while, like on my Samsung and my Google Pixel.
For instance, we are in Oldsmar, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Safety Harbor this morning shooting the sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was big. I mean, it was a big sun.
Yeah.
And coming up over Tampa from the Safety Harbor pier.
It was beautiful area.
And, you know, this is what I had. I had the iPhone. Had I had my camera with the big zoom lens, I would have had a killer shot of the giant sun coming over Tampa.
But there are things that we can do,
right,
you know, to compensate for that. There's things with the computational photography. That's the other side of this. This is why we've got conferences like this, because there's so many different little nuances with it of how to use things like digital zoom and when you can use that digital zoom, when you can't. It's different lighting conditions that you can get better quality from. Yeah.
I shot a time lapse of the sun coming up over the pier. And for that, you have the sun coming right up all the way. And that was amazing. You know, and I should still be there now. Go even higher, right?
That's awesome. Well, yeah, so that's so that is coming up in March 20, maybe they have a graphic. I know it's 20-something.
I think it's 28th, 29th, and 30th.
I'm really bad.
But that's my guess.
I'm really bad. But anyways.
The end of March.
It's the end of March. Check it out over at KelbyOneLive.com.
And I'm doing the beginner's guide to iPhone photography, everything you need to know, because you'd be amazed. There's a lot of people who will say to me, those are lenses? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
many a time.
I was with a photographer last week, veteran, been photographing. I think he's been out there for 50 years. He's amazing. And I was showing him stuff that I do, like the time lapse and the slow-mo and the panos and stuff like that. And he was like, wow, I didn't know you could do some of that stuff. And so there's a lot of really fun stuff. I always say that the good news about the iPhone is it's gotten so good. The bad news is they've thrown so much stuff in it, you have no idea what the,
Yes, it's like you get lost in it. Yeah, you can get lost in it. And that's what's great about these conferences, is able to break down and we go into specifics. And you can see over here, I got the website pulled up. We've got a bunch of people. There's Jefferson, there's you teaching. We got a bunch of people teaching all over, a big cross section is what it is, a big cross-section of all the different types of photography one might do with the iPhone, a lot of the post-production with the iPhone as well. So if you're looking to master it, check it out over there on KelbyOneLive.com.
Yeah, I'm also doing video because I've been using the camera as my video camera, my main video camera, for several years. Yes. And I shoot every episode of my Photo Watch TV episode on YouTube on the iPhone.
Yes.
So everything that could possibly go wrong, I've done it.
Yeah, and the iPhone is a great camera as well. I mean, I know over at Kelby One, sometimes we do have to, in certain tight spaces or small spaces, we found that the iPhone works better than sometimes the GoPros and other things. So we'll use that. So you've probably seen that in Kelby One classes as well.
Even your thumbnail for today's episode was shot on the iPhone.
Thumbnail, yeah.
Right.
So it's great to have that power all in our pocket. But hey, so those are the classes Jefferson's teaching over there, and that's where to go sign up. But let's get on to today's show, right? First, before we do that, we've got a bunch of prizes, because we love to give away prizes here on the grid.
So I get to be a guest and I get a prize, huh?
Yeah, well, you do get a prize. Jefferson gets a prize because all of our guests on the grid get a nice grid cup. So they get a nice little grid mug over there. So Jefferson is getting a prize as well. But hey, what do we have today for prizes? We have a Platypod elbow and clamp. So this is a great thing to attach to your Platypod. Gives you a clamp and then a way to attach things to it. So we're going to be giving away an elbow and a clamp. Then we're going to be giving away Scott's travel photography book. Great book if you're into travel photography and just wanting to get up to speed on all the different techniques, because it's one page, one tip. One tip per page, tons of tips. There we go. And then the Light It, Shoot It, Retouch It book from Scott Kelby as well. We're going to be giving that away. And then we're giving away a copy of On One Effects 2023. So a cool plugin for Photoshop and Lightroom that gives you like these one-click buttons for a bunch of different effects, and then able to go in and modify those effects to your heart's desire. So it's really cool. And really new select and masking features as well over there from On One. All right, and then we're going to be giving away a V-Flat over from V-Flat World. That's at vflatworld.com. Everybody can win over there because you get 10% off if you use that code KELBY10 at checkout for 10% off. Now, that's for U.S. shipping only, so only enter that if you've got U.S. shipping address. If you want to enter the contest, all you have to do is leave us a comment. Tell us where you're from. Tell us what you'd like to win. And then if you have any questions for Jefferson or I about the topic we're talking about today, or just questions in photography in general, go ahead and ask them in the chat. Our producer will get it all collected for us and ask the question live here on air. So let us know. All right. So.
Yes.
Before we get to a break, we're going to talk about this topic. So this topic is one where we have a different approach to the solution. But the strategy,
but it's the same idea.
Stay the same, right?
Right.
And that is this concept that, you know, we've kind of mastered the whole strategy of, I think this is the mystery of photography, right? Is your backup and your storage solution and your workflow solution. Like, how does all this stuff work? So for the iPhone, what do you do to like make sure your life is properly, make sure your workflow is great on your iPhone?
Okay, Chris, it's the story of our time.
Yes.
Right? Well, I grew up where you brought in the film, they handed you the negatives, that was it.
Yeah.
That was it. Then later on, we burnt DVDs and CDs and put them in the closet, and that was it. And it was great, right?
Yeah.
And now it's a whole different ball of wax.
It is.
So there's a lot of different storage options. There's Amazon Photos, there's iCloud, there's Google Photos, there's SmugBug, there's Dropbox, Microsoft OneDrive, go on and on and on. The first place I start at is forget iCloud, because they will delete photos, your photos, if you delete them off your phone. And it's a thing where it mirrors your phone.
Yeah, so it's like a two-way street.
But
right?
But they're constantly sending you nag messages saying you've run out of room. And so what do people do when they get the messages? They start deleting, only to find out they've been deleted off iCloud. So right. I steer clear of iCloud, though you could argue about iCloud backup drive, which is a different thing. But my thing is I get the stuff off my phone onto hard drives as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I also I use SmugMug. Which, full disclosure, they've been a sponsor of mine, but they have a really cool auto backup feature similar to what you're using with Amazon,
mm-hmm.
where every photo you take on your phone goes automatically backed up while you're asleep. There's a folder by month, so all your stuff goes in there. But they sometimes miss some things.
And what do you mean by that?
They miss some of the videos.
Okay.
So their rule is that they'll automatically back up your videos if they're under 1.5 gig. If they're 1.6, they won't go in.
Uh-huh.
And who knows? Who knows how big it is? So I have to always make sure to
upload your videos.
Yeah.
So you just have to manually upload them if they're bigger than that?
Well, their rule is
it can't be bigger than
3 to be stored with them. And it can't automatically backed up bigger than 1.5. I have the photos backed up. They go on my hard drive, and then I usually create another folder afterwards so that I want every shoot. So I did Safety Harbor this morning. That would be a folder,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
And categorize things like that.
Yeah, and the folder strategy, you know, that's a whole conversation in itself, right? I actually prescribe very closely to what Scott's prescription on that for having, like you talk about, like one main photos folder. And then in there, photos of every shoot. So it's basically every shoot in there,
right,
and then a descriptor of that, right? Instead of like trying to fit your photos into these keywords or in all this stuff, it's just putting them in the folder of the shoot. Because me as a photographer, I always work like that. Like, oh, I shot that on the Yellowstone vacation in 2022. Go to the Yellowstone 2022 folder.
Yeah.
Like I know it's in there.
Now I go,
and then I go to the final folder that I have in my Lightroom where I got the finals.
Yeah, one step further than that, I just did a shoot in Solvang, California, which is out by me.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back and my folder was iPhone 12, iPhone 13, iPhone 14, GoPro, drone.
Yep, that's what mine are.
Yeah, so I separated it that way. Because one thing I do is I shoot on multiple phones.
Yep. Yeah, and I have the same strategy on that when I do like a rocket shoot, because I will have 5D Mark II, 7D, 7D Mark II. But then what I'm doing is also that and then a descriptor of the shot, you know, like 7D Mark II inside the pad, you know, so that way I know those are those shots from that launch, that shoot inside the pad.
There you go. And one reason I had to do it this way is that sometimes your files on the card will come up with the same number.
Oh yes, yes.
And I'll throw
and that, that's why it's very important just to have that. Whatever, I guess the point being, and we got to take a break here in just a second, but before we take a break, you know, just kind of getting on the point being is when you're starting out with this whole workflow strategy is coming up with a way that you can manage this process that makes sense to you. You don't want it to be like the process we're talking about, if this doesn't work for you, don't do it. But it's that whole concept of a process where there's a folder that photos are getting backed up to, and those folders in there describe, so you know, so you could know where to go in those folders and not have to rely on any other strategies other than that folder is backed up.
Yeah, and I should say, when I said that I put it on a drive, they go on two drives.
Yes.
Everything gets doubled up.
Well, we haven't even got to that yet.
Okay.
And I think we got to get to that, because there's a difference. When we come back, I really want to talk about there's a difference between storage and backing up. And I think a lot of people get confused on this topic of storage and backing up. So when we come back, we'll be talking about that. Answer your questions. If you have any, just throw them in the chat. And we'll see you back here in a couple minutes.
Hey folks, Kirk Nelson here from the Pixel Pro. I am back at Kelby One Studios with a fantastic course. This is a collection of some of the best quick and easy Photoshop tricks that you can find. I'm talking about really cool tricks that you can do in less than 10 minutes each. We're doing some neon text. We're doing some glowing matrix style, raining binary numbers. We are doing this really cool photo sketch effect you really just gotta see to believe. We're digging into some of the newer features in Photoshop, like the neural filters or abusing the camera raw filter, how it's probably not supposed to be. We're having a ton of fun. We're doing a lot of cool effects. They're really easy, and you can do it too. Join me here at KelbyOne.com.
There are so many genres of photography where you're locked out of getting the good shots. Like you can't get close and you can't get into that special area. The pros can get there, they have special access and stuff. But you know what the great equalizer is? Air shows. Air shows are exploding for photographers. They love it because you can get right down in front. You got the same access. You can come back with shots that will absolutely blow everybody away. That's what I love about shooting air shows.
Yeah, in this class, what we're gonna do is we're gonna break down all that stuff that you need to know to shoot your first air show, like the settings, how to program your camera, what lenses, what bodies you need. And then we're gonna get to the important stuff, like composition and framing, where we're gonna break down all that for you so you can be a master the first time you go out and shoot your show.
We're gonna show you how to shoot jets, how to shoot props, how to shoot the statics. When you come back, your shots are gonna look like a pro's. So come and check out our brand new class exclusively at Kelby One.
This segment of The Grid is brought to you by B&H Photo, the professional source since 1973.
All right, we are back and we are talking all about iPhone workflow strategies, talking specifically about backing up. And now I wanted to get into a topic. Before we get there, I know we've got some shout outs here. We got people joining us all over the place. Nina saying greetings from a sunny PA. Bill Mitchell saying hello everyone for The Grid. Jay Dahl is saying, is it just for the iPhone? Do you have classes for the Samsung? I will say we were just talking about that because I have the Samsung, the Google, and the iPhone. Just because, again, knowing the landscape of everything, they're all very similar, I would say. There is a big difference between the operating systems. That's really the
difference. But in the techniques being taught at the conference.
The techniques are very similar.
90%.
95%.
It's a live photos. You don't have live photos on Android.
No, but you have certain different things. It's just and then the other thing is sometimes they just call it different or they just put it in a different place. But that's where it can get frustrating for people. So that's why we do have to kind of like narrow it in and go, hey, we're teaching on this type of thing. But really when it comes down to it, I would put it in the Nikon, Sony, and Canon realm, It's where the Apple, Google, and Samsung fit. It's just kind of like, they're all great cameras. I wouldn't tell anybody like, oh, you got a Sony, that's why your photos aren't good. You know, shoot. I mean, Sony takes amazing pictures.
And makes the sensor for the iPhone.
And makes the sensor for the iPhone. Good point.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing a lot of people don't realize is like the sensors in these cameras are really good and they're made by Sony.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good Sony sensors. So, and the ability again to do that computational photography just changes everything. So Jefferson.
Yes.
You know, when we're talking about this. Oh, we didn't finish with our shout outs because I got distracted there. But I got Tracy joining us from the B&H conference. So they're the lunch break up at the B&H.
Rose like, K from New Zealand.
Yep. Yeah. Rose saying hi from New Zealand, the great place, right? John saying hi from Kansas City. Jim from Minnesota. Tim from Kissimmee, Florida. Gary from Canton, Georgia. Claudia from Toronto. Little Herman from New Hampshire. Lou joining us from all the way from Arizona. And before we get there, I think do we have some questions down there?
Yeah.
Oh, and Scott says hi. So
hi,
hey,
Scott.
Hey, Scott. Let's see. Dwight, so from the first break, he was asking, how do they handle photos taken not part of a big shoot? For example, a few daily shots around the house. That's a good question.
Put it in a weekly folder or a monthly folder.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that I do have a generic folder, yeah, like of just like that, where I'm putting in a generic folder. And that's the key, is what Jefferson and I are saying, just having a system to where you understand where you would look naturally.
Because you'll never find it if you don't.
If you don't. Yes. Just get to a natural system where you're like, if for you, you work better on the weekly. See, I would probably be, like, most of the time when I shoot, it is intentional. So I would say that most of the time it does go in those intentional folders. But I do have, again, like you said, it's like a monthly folder of the miscellaneous things that go in there.
Yeah.
And that's just what I understand. And what you understand is more like a daily or a weekly or monthly. Like whatever you understand, just stick with it and continue with that. And I think that's the best advice.
Okay. Somebody wants to know about how much to charge.
Okay.
Sharon B. She has a friend who's asked her to photograph somebody's 70th birthday, first paying gig, what would be a good starting charge?
Well, what do you think?
Well, I'm a working photographer.
Yes.
First gig, though.
First paying gig,
I would say $100 an hour, 2 hour minimum.
Yeah. I would say that you do it on just a fair hourly wage. You know, yeah. I mean, once you start.
If you go too low, you'll never get back up.
Yeah. Well, and it's good that you are getting a paid gig. Like, I think that's one of the things is like, if you are going to invest time into something, at least getting some payment
right.
for it. I mean, because like you just said, you can't go backwards.
Right.
Once you do something for free, then the next time, what do people want to pay?
The only thing is if you're building a portfolio, you need to do something for
sometimes
free to
you
get
do.
The images.
Sometimes you do. And that's where you, like you're saying there, like if you're crossing over into that realm where it's like, okay, I'm doing a paid gig now. I think what you're saying is just, keep it at that reasonable price, right? Don't try to like price yourself.
Always have a minimum because you don't want to go there for $100 and work 4 hours or just work an hour and then leave. Yeah. I mean, it's like,
that's a great tip. Great tip. And that's actually a great tip for anybody in photography, even advanced professionals, you know, having some kind of minimums and then also conditions to that, like you're saying. Awesome. So Lou's asking, can Eric comment on the new Canon R8 and R50? The R50 is a lot more affordable than the R6. Yes, it is. Should I keep saving the R6 or the R50 good enough? I'm not a photographer. I'm just a guy who likes to take better snapshots for my newsletter.
iPhone.
So,
you know?
I mean, Lou, actually, he makes a good point. Now, I will say, because just looking at, I mean, I've messed around with the R8 and the R50. The thing with the R50, comparing it to the R6, you can't really do an apples to apples there because one is a crop sensor and one is a full frame sensor. And that's just what, now the R8 and the R50 are closer, but one's R8's a full frame sensor and the R50's a crop sensor.
But if you're taking pictures for your newsletter.
But anyway, you're taking pictures for your newsletter, I'm really gonna tell you, I mean, I could say, the iPhone is a great option.
Or the Galaxy.
Or the Pixel. Or if I was going to pick between those cameras and what you're telling me, I would say the R50, because the R50 is such a lower price point and gives you everything you would ever need for snapshots for your newsletter and beyond.
Yeah.
I could take Milky Way shots with that. I can take aviation, aerospace shots with it. There's no limitation I could think on the photography. So if you went to my Instagram page or into my portfolio and said, could I not shoot anything on there with an R50? I don't think there's anything that I go, no, I couldn't do that. I mean, the only thing would be on the one side of the low light performance. I don't know, but I would imagine it's way better than my 5D Mark II used to be
right
back in the day.
Right.
So I'm sure you can do everything you want with it. So, but I agree with Jefferson. I mean, I definitely look into
a lot of the times when they say, hey, I want to buy a camera. What camera should I buy? And the first thing you say is, what are you going to do with it?
Yep.
And if you told me you're doing newsletter photos, I'd say, get a smartphone. If you say, I'm going to take pictures of my kid in a school play and I catch all the soccer games and I want to get close-ups, well, that's a different story.
Well, yeah, because at that point, that's where I think we do transition, right? And that's where you're saying, like, with that is, like, once you've gone to that point, now you do want to get in close, because yeah, you just said some things that really want to get in close. Like, I want to capture sports up close. I want to capture somebody on stage from a distance.
Right.
I need a telephoto.
Right? I'm a food blogger and I take pictures overhead of my creations. Yeah. Get an iPhone. You know?
Yeah, yeah, they're great. They're great. Yeah. Very cool. All right. Here's a question for Deb Jefferson. I just bought a Mac Studio and want to buy a Thunderbolt hub. I was told I need a power pack as well. Is this true? And are there any brands do you recommend for external drives?
My hub plugs into the power. I didn't have to get an extra power.
Right.
It's powered.
It's powered by the port. Yeah.
No, it's powered by AC.
AC.
Okay. You can buy cheap ones for $20 that are not powered.
Yes.
But the ones that are powered are way more powerful and faster.
Yes.
So mine's from OWC. I paid $180-ish. I'm very happy with it. It's been really good.
It's funny because I have the same one. So yeah. And it's it's just a powered external one that's like a hub. And
yeah,
it works great. The power is important in that if you have those faster ports, you need the power. So
I have multiple hard drives. Mm-hmm. There's probably at least six going into my computer.
Yep.
So I need the power for it. And
yep,
as far as external drives, it's all come down to just a handful of companies. So Western Digital and SanDisk, what's it called? SanDisk.
Western Digital, Seagate.
Seagate. Yeah, it's Western Digital, it's Seagate, which own everything.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really what I would say. Those are the three.
Yeah.
I tend to be a SanDisk person.
Okay, I'm sorry. SanDisk is owned by Western Digital now.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I intend to be Western Digital. So SanDisk and Western Digital tend to be where I camp out.
I'd say get a good desk drive that's not going to move. It's either, because you can get a desk drive.
There.
Yeah, you get a desk drive. 10 TBs, 12 TBs for about $200.
$200,
now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can get an SSD drive, which are more reliable, no moving parts. You can travel with those, and you'll get 2 terabytes for $200.
I got a 2 terabyte because I just upgraded my SanDisk. 2 terabyte for, I think it was $150.
Yeah.
For 2 terabytes of an SSD, like, that's crazy.
Yeah. But you can travel with it and feel comfortable about it. But for the big storage, be on your desk.
Yep. Well, very cool. Well, we've got a bunch of questions coming in. I want to get to them. So let's get to a couple more questions, and then we'll get back to that storage versus backing up. So Jackie's saying, I got a question. I do bird photography and often have to do some heavy cropping and enlarging. Where in your workflow do you crop and then enlarge? I'm using On1 Resize for enlargements.
I do my cropping in Lightroom. So
I do.
That's me. How about you?
So I do all my croppings and adjustments in Lightroom, and then I would take it over to Photoshop. My enlargements happen at the end, right? So I am editing the photo, processing the photo, doing everything into the photo to make it exactly how I want. And then if I need to at that point enlarge it, which I would agree the times when I need to enlarge is heavily cropped on aviation photos or or wildlife photos, because that's usually you just can't get close enough, or rockets like way out in the atmosphere. I just need to get closer, and then I just need to resize. So you're doing all your edits, and then you do that, and you've got a phenomenal program there. The On One resize is great, and you just resize it, and you can go up to four times a resize, four times, no problem, six times most of the time. And that's great. I mean, because if you really think about it, that's where this argument of like, I don't have enough megapixels, like, is gone, right? The whole thing like, oh, the iPhone only has 12 megapixels. I've printed iPhone shots huge by just doing that resizing thing. You can totally upsize.
48 megapixels in the latest one.
Right, exactly. 48 megapixels in the latest one.
If you remember to shoot in RAW.
Yes, if you remember to turn that feature on.
Yes.
Which we have a conference all about that.
Very good.
All right. Well, let's see. We need to take a break, but when we come back, we never got to that subject, but we have so many questions coming in. I want to get to your guys' questions, so keep on asking them. But I do want to talk about that whole storage versus backing up thing, because I think it trips up a lot of people.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is great. So many questions are coming in.
Yeah.
You could just waltz in and don't have to have a topic and just, we're ready.
Yeah, ready to go. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Where's the best place to do your post-processing for the travel images that you shot on your phone? I'm telling you where it's at. It's poolside. That's the thing. You're still on vacation. You're enjoying yourself. You're having a great time. You're like, I'm going to take a few hours off. I'm going to chill out by the pool, and I'm going to edit my photos. And that's what we're going to do in part two of my class on shooting your travel photography with an iPhone. So in part one, we took the shots. In part two, we're going to bring them into Lightroom. Actually, they're already in Lightroom, but I'll tell you how to do all that automatically. And then we're going to go through the whole post-processing steps right on your phone or right on your tablet, whichever one you're using. Using Lightroom, it's going to rock. Everything's going to be synced back and ready to go. When you get home, all your images are there. They're done. You're having a great time. And it all happens in real time because you're by the pool editing your images in Lightroom. I hope you'll check out part two of my class on using the iPhone for your travel photography.
Hey guys, I'm Tuvi, and I'm going to show you two really cool products that we at VFLAT World sell. So the first one is our Duo Boards, which are double-sided hyper-realistic backdrops for food and product photographers. They come in two sizes. This is the larger side. We have all different types of textures and designs. These are some of the new ones that came out recently. And they also, there's a bag option available for them. And our other product, which is what we actually started the company with, it's called a V-flat. It's a foldable V-flat, and it's used for portrait and studio photographers to control light on their subjects, to either add light with the white side or use the black side to subtract light or even block like an unwanted window light coming in.
This segment of The Grid is brought to you by Canon.
I don't think we need to answer the first line.
All right, we are back, and look at that. We got a little shot of the control room in there, I see. So, all right, so we got to talk backup versus storage. So I think a lot of people, when they say, okay, like you started out with, Jefferson, you said, hey, have an external drive, you know, that you're doing it.
Two.
What is the difference to you between backing up and storage?
Well, being on multiple drives and being online at the same time. What do they call it? The 3-2-1 rule?
Yeah.
Yeah. Making sure that I am backed up in multiple places. You are backed up in more places. My issue is video. My files are big, and online does not accept them unless I pay a lot of money.
Yes.
So I can get 2 TBs for $10 a month with Google. And with Apple, that's not enough. I mean, yeah. I have 40 TVs on my desk, and it'll be 50 and 60, and it just goes on and on and on. So just making sure that I have them in multiple places and on multiple drives, and a smart person would have multiple drives at home and then at mom's house as well.
Right, yeah, and I think the key to point to make here is like, just having your stuff backed up on an external drive is not backed up. That is storage. Like, I am just storing something somewhere. And I think that's where
people for a period of time.
Period of time. It's yes. Like, I am just storing. Now we want to go beyond storing it and actually backing it up. And then a lot of times the reason we want those backups offsite, not where the other drive is, because usually if my computer's here and my storage is here and something happens here, everything's gone.
Right.
Like, you're done. It's like, right. So we have to start distancing ourselves. So that's where, in like my scenario, like, you know, you talked about your scenario, my scenario, little different, you know, but very similar in that I have my computer, which has a storage drive. And that storage drive is what I'm working off of and going between Lightroom. Then I have a Synology, which then is backing up that storage drive. So that's there. Then I have on here, backing up that drive to Backblaze. So all my photo drives are there. And then as a kicker, I also have my computers and my phones hooked up to Amazon Photos, which is backing up all the photos additionally
free
again.
Free unlimited storage.
Free unlimited storage if you're a Prime member. So that's
which
why
most
I use that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why. So Backblaze is like my backup, right? Mm-hmm. And then I have Amazon Photos, which comes with my Prime, as like my second backup to my backup in case any crap just hits the, you know, it's like I'm just paranoid like that,
yeah.
You know, so
hard to find stuff in Amazon. The
it
is not
so bad. So I will say that I'm not a fan of Amazon Photos interface for like finding the photos and doing that, but again, for me, it's the last line of defense.
That's right.
So, and what's
anybody
great about
who
it,
has Prime who doesn't use it is out of their mind.
Right, because right. I mean, it's there, right. And all you got to do is like you download the Amazon Photos app, you hook it up on your phone, you turn on the syncing, and then it just runs in the background. So as long as this phone's plugged in and it's got Wi-Fi, if I took new pictures, they're going up. Same thing with this phone. Plugged in, it's got Wi-Fi, they're getting backed up. So that's what's great about it.
Okay, so my desk, multiple drives, mm-hmm. stuff backed up all over the place, and my 2TB is plugged into the computer. That's my editing drive.
Right.
And then when I'm finished, then it goes on to the other
yep.
drives.
Yeah, so the key here, again, looking at the solutions and stuff, is just making sure that you do have your stuff backed up in multiple places. And like I said, 3-2-1, like three places is having a local copy, having another copy of that, and then having something offsite.
Yeah,
I think those are kind of the minimums that I would tell people.
I feel
people.
Very bad when I meet people and they have all their pictures on their phone, period, that's it.
Yeah.
And what happens?
What happens?
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. And you can't get it back. Like, right. If it's not backed up, you can't get it back. And that's what's crazy about it. Like, these are our memories. Like, photos are very powerful. And to lose that, it would feel... I mean, I couldn't imagine. I would feel so violated not to have
yeah,
that.
I should say that, you know, I'm here at Kelby One,
yep.
and I'm so inspired because you do something that people don't really do as much as they should. You have prints on the wall.
Yeah.
There are prints hanging,
yeah.
and they look so great. And people need to make prints.
Well, that's another side of this conversation is, you know, getting into your iPhone workflow, getting your photos from your iPhone into print is something you should do as well as a backup strategy.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's very important to that. So do you do that?
Well, what are our kids going to get?
Yeah,
what are they
right?
going to get? You forgot to give the password to your wife. You leave us.
Yeah.
And all your pictures are gone.
Yeah.
Nobody can get access to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going home. I'm making a bunch of prints.
Yes. We definitely, and that's definitely something we need to do more of, is just making prints. Because say what you will, but... I'm telling you, we got that shoebox, and I can always go in that shoebox and see every memory of my childhood.
That's right.
You know, and it's now you do have to protect that shoebox or protect the
digitize
the
it.
Yeah,
well, digitize it, please.
It.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's if my mother is watching. She's had that project for 3 years, but she's been slowly working on that.
So. Well, maybe you'll help her with it.
Yes, I try, but you know, sometimes. sometimes life gets in the way, but that's why we're doing this show. We really want you to back up, feel safe about where your photos are. Just want to feel safe about it. So, question here. So Dan's asking, what non-photography specific item do you always carry for a photo shoot? For example, I always have a Leatherman in my camera mag unless flying somewhere. Well, unless you're me and then you're flying to Germany and you forget to take it out of your bag and then the German authorities detain you because you forgot to take it out of your bag and TSA did not catch it was in my bag. So that was fun.
I have no non-photography item in my bag. The only thing I could think of is a power strip. Because motels and hotels used to be really bad about finding stuff, little available outlets, but now they've gotten pretty good.
Yeah, I would say for me, I say it's going to be a funny one, but being in Florida and shooting so much here, it seems like bug spray is like always in my bag. Like I always have some form of bug spray, and I actually love there's like a lotion one that's like a Picardin. That, you know, it doesn't have that smell or whatever, but
we don't have these issues in California.
No, you don't have those issues in California, but out here, the no-see-ums and the mosquitoes are just really bad when you're doing anything around here. So I find that that's in my bag a lot. So, but that's what it is. A lot of the stuff that's ancillary in my bag tends to be convenience things, right? Mm-hmm. Things that'll help. But like you're saying, well, power strips. I agree with you. When you go to a hotel, it's like they said, we're not going to put any power plugs where you need them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Never.
Yeah. So the first thing you do is you unplug the hairdryer. Then you unplug the coffee maker.
Yep.
Then if this is what it's going to come down to, there goes the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Right? I got to power up my devices. My bag is now half cables. I don't know about you, but you know.
Yep. Oh, it is. it does. Well, and I can't wait for the day when it's just everything's wireless, but you know, it's coming. But yeah, it's cables everywhere. Cables everywhere. All right. Well, let's see what we got here. Debbie's asking, are you backing up or storing your camera photos the same as your iPhone photos, or do you have a separate process?
Exactly the same.
It is the same. I mean, that's once you master one, it is the same. The only difference I will say with the phone, the iPhone, is with apps like the Amazon Photos or Backblaze even, like the level at which it can do it automatically is far increased on the phone. I feel like it's more automated on the phone than it is on the desktop.
I still want to put them into Lightroom. I still want to do an edit and then export the edit for that. I always have a folder called best from each shoot.
Yep.
Best. So that's me.
Yeah. And that's a great strategy. If that way too, if you finish those photos and those are your best photos, those are the photos that then can get stored locally that you can have locally to access. So you don't need to like always go to your backup for it because they're your best photos.
Right.
So I do a lot of that. All right. Jackie's asking, what are some of the apps that you recommend for editing photos on the iPhone?
My favorite app.
Yep.
My favorite app on the iPhone for editing photos is called the Apple Photos app. I start there, believe it or not, plain vanilla.
It is good.
What a difference a few years has made.
Yes, it is
way
better.
It used to be nothing. Now, first pass goes through there. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty good. And then if I want to go to the next level, then I'm up at Lightroom Mobile, which is my other go-to favorite app. And then when I want to go nuts and berserk, then I go to Snapseed. Because they have tools in there that can just make things really dramatic.
Well, and Jefferson hit all the ones that I would say. So there you go. Same. I would just say same. You know, that's really it. You know, I do agree. The Apple Photos app has gone light years ahead of where it was. And then Lightroom is still in my repertoire workflow when I need to go a little
farther. Because we can now mask in Lightroom Mobile,
which
we couldn't
do
before. Now, you are the guy with two phones. Okay, so you've got the iPhone and the Galaxy. Yeah. So on the Galaxy, which app are you opening up to edit a photo on there?
So Lightroom. I think Lightroom is still the best on that. You know, I think that their built-in editors are not as good as Lightroom's. But see, that's where Apple has spent a lot of research and time and development into the Apple Photos app and that editing. Like you said, it is coming a long way in a short amount of time. Okay. Well, so
I have a question for you. So when you open up your phone and you edit a photo, let's do it together, mm-hmm. And we have choices now. We have auto, exposure, brilliance, highlights, yep. shadows, etc.
I'm going to know you're going to ask.
Which ones are you using?
Well, it's usually the contrast and the brightnesses and the tints and stuff. But I'll tell you this: the difference between what they name them and what it's all the same.
But it's all the same.
It's all the same. So
I start with auto and I complete it with blacks. I always take the blacks all the way down and really boost it, and I think it looks pretty great.
Yeah, and that's a great tip: is just hit that auto. Yeah, the little magic magic wand button. It's just and that's where auto in Lightroom and auto on the Apple Photos app. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, nowadays. Dehaze in Lightroom is my go-to slider. Mm-hmm. That will darken the sky really nicely.
Yes, the only thing is I have to be very cautious with dehaze.
You can't go all the way. You can't go all the way.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
You just need a little dehaze in your life, and then it'll clear it up. Hey, we got to take a break, but when we come back, we'll take more of your questions. If you have any questions, we're going to be giving away prizes, so make sure you enter the contest for the prizes. And we'll be wrapping up the show talking about everything iPhone backup.
So you went to Tuscany, but that's a region in Italy?
It is a region in Italy that is amazing because it kind of mixes travel and landscape, and you come back with these images that are so unique to that area. And Larry, the first time I went to Tuscany, spent 10 days there, I kind of bombed. I was very, very disappointed with what I came back with, and you know why? Because I wasn't staying in the right area and I didn't know the right places to go. And that's why I did another class in my series. I want to show you where to shoot in the Tuscany region of Italy. We're going to look at everything. We're going to look at how to get around, where to stay, where to shoot, what lenses to use, what time to shoot. We're going to go through all these different things.
So you go into locations there, right?
Of course. In fact, I'm going to have a downloadable PDF where people can actually go and know exactly where to go. It's got all kinds of information.
So it's all the tourist locations.
No, Larry, these are the good locations.
Secret locations?
Yeah, you'll see the tourists over there and you'll be over someplace else.
So do you have any other behind the scenes tips and tricks?
Oh, I got lots of them. I want to set you up for success. So when you come back, you've got the best pictures you've ever made. These are going to be pictures that make your friends and your neighbors jealous. It's going to make them hate you. You're probably going to wind up with no friends or neighbors after this trip because that's the kind of shots you're going to come back with. So come and catch my brand new class. It's called Travel Photography, A Photographer's Guide to Tuscany.
So did you bring a bag lunch or was the food any good there?
Food was okay. I'm not real big on food, but it was all right. It's Italian food. You know what they call Italian food in Italy?
What?
Food. Just call it food. But let me tell you what, they should call it something else because it's crazy.
This segment of The Grid is brought to you by Platypod, the world's most compact tripod base.
All right, we're back, and we're talking about we got the iPhone conference coming up. We're talking about iPhone backup strategies and answering your questions. So let us know if you have any questions. But hey, we got to do some housekeeping stuff. So Scott is up at the Depth of Field conference, but he's also going to be in just a few weeks over at the Outsiders conference. So
in Zion,
Kanab,
which is Zion. That's
well, yes, Kanab. Yeah. So you know, definitely go check that out over at the Outsiders conference if you want. And then in just a couple months after that in Kanab, I'll be at the Nightscapers Conference. So check that out over at nightscapers.com. And then if you want to join me, speaking of night, if you want to join me for a Milky Way, twilight, sunset adventure, you know, we always talk about these prime locations, prime moments, all that stuff. Come join me this summer. We're going to be doing a 5-day intensive workshop. It's designed for any skill level. You could never, I had somebody last year came to a workshop, never shot a Milky Way shot before in her life. And she had the most phenomenal Milky Way shots, like won the award at the end of the week of like the best photo of the week. Never shot a Milky Way shot before in their life.
On here or on a big camera?
Well, and you know, joining us this year, because he was so excited about it, is Russell Brown is going to be out there.
Russell is going to be doing
a lot of mobile stuff.
He's the greatest iPhone photographer in the world, per my opinion.
I agree. And I'm very excited to see him out on location, because the thing is, we work well together on that whole like creativity side. And that's where it doesn't matter what camera we're using, what skill level you're at. You can definitely get those skills out. But we've definitely done, we've got some really cool locations. I've got some like secret locations. And we're going to be doing stuff like even like this shot here that I've shown. Like this is from the Badlands in that area. And just doing light painting and doing stuff with the stars and the Milky Way and kind of blending all together. But then being able to do other things, like we're going to do some environmental portraiture, light painting, just stuff at night. It's going to be really cool. So definitely check it out this summer. If you go over to my website, you can. There's a workshop link over there, and go check it out over there. We're going to be light painting under the stars, and definitely going to be doing some twilight and Milky Way stuff as
Sounds
well.
Really good.
Yeah, it should be awesome. And look at, there's Russell, and he's going to be showing up just like that,
right?
He will have some wild stuff we've already been talking
about. That was taken on an iPhone, by the way, with a Profoto flash.
It was because he is a master of it. You're absolutely right. So yeah, check it out. Well, hey, we've got to give away some prizes as well, so let's. What's that? Oh, trivia. You know what? We got to do a trivia question.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't have, so I have to apologize. We've been doing the trivia time at Kelby One, yeah.
The game of life.
So I have to apologize. We didn't have a Photoshop or a Lightroom tip this week because Scott was not here, and I forgot to actually do one. So that's my bad. But we're going to be giving away a trivia today. So the trivia question today is, because Jefferson and I were just talking about it, in what year did Kelby Training start? And I don't even know if Christina knows the answer to this, but I will just text it to her right there. So what year was Kelby Training started in? Not Knapp, which Knapp was the original. Mm-hmm. Then we started Kelby Training, and those two companies became Kelby One. Okay. So in what year did Kelby Training start?
Are you asking me or are we asking the audience?
We're just asking the audience.
Okay.
And I can tell you, it is more than 10 years and less than 20 years ago.
I have an idea. I know the answer, but I'm going to let the audience, because they're going to get a prize, right?
Yeah, they're going to get a prize. And speaking of prizes, let's go ahead and give away the prizes while we're waiting for the trivia winner. We've got Carla Ferris is winning the Platypod Elbow. Then we have Janice Mueller winning the Light It, Shoot It, Retouch It book. And then Blake Morgan is winning the Travel Photography book. So congratulations, Blake. And then Robert Wester is winning the V Flat. And then Lou, no. All right. Is that on one effects, Dwight?
Looks like Robert Wester gets the V flat.
All right, Robert Wester's winning the V flat, and then Dwight in Tennessee is winning the on one effects. Oh, he was the trivia winner. Never mind, Dwight in Tennessee, you're the trivia winner. So there you go. Awesome. Well, just what's that? We didn't tell the answer. So the answer is 2007.
And you know what else happened in 2007?
What's that?
It was the year the iPhone came out.
Yes, it was.
We're going to tie it all together here.
Yes, it was the year the iPhone came out. And it's also the year YouTube started blowing up.
Oh, one last thing about the iPhone is the great Paris street photographers of the 40s ran around with a little Leica with a 50mm lens.
Yeah.
And they did amazing work.
Yep.
And now we're running around with a phone with three lenses.
Three lenses.
That can shoot video.
That you don't have to interchange.
Right.
And it's a mirrorless camera. This is a mirrorless camera with three lenses.
That's right.
Like, it's amazing.
That does slow-mo.
If you really think about it.
And video.
And it has all the processing power to edit your raw photos right in your hand.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. If you did win, just email us over at gridprize@kelby1.com. We'll verify information and then send you out your prize. Well, all right, Jefferson. So what other things would you want to, is there anything else that you'd want to tell people about, you know, if you're just trying to like your backup strategy, you're just making sure you've got everything set for your iPhone life?
Well, first of all, go out and buy some drives. So
buy some drives.
At least two drives. I hate it. Like I went over to a friend's house to help him and he had one little drive there. So that's not going to cut it. Putting it on your laptop isn't going to cut it. Get the drives or buy some SD cards or buy some flash drives. You know, you can get some pretty good ones.
Get them in multiple places.
Yes.
The point. Yeah.
Yeah. Get them in multiple places and, you know, really, really take the time. It'll take time in the beginning. It won't take time afterwards, but just set it up. It's like tagging photos. It's a pain in the butt. But if you actually sit down and spend a day and tag, because like on the iPhone, they've got really nice people tagging. And I can tag all my friends once and then not have to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So take the time. Think of your kids. Think of your kids. Think of what am I doing to save these photos to the next generation.
Yes. And I would say the other thing is print. Making sure that you do print. So those classic photos, those iconic, especially the family photos, like you were just saying, like the iconic family photos. In fact, one of the things my wife does that I totally appreciate every year is we love to adventure. We love to RV, like we talked about. And she'll always make a photo book of our adventures. And
it takes time.
It takes time, but it comes from her Samsung phone. It comes from my daughter's iPhone, my iPhone. It comes from pictures that we've shared over the years or pictures that we've created. But usually it's those type of pictures. And I'll tell you what, that book is something that I cherish because like you flip through it and like those are memories and having that in print and having that where somebody, it's just beyond the coffee table and somebody can look at it. It is priceless.
And it counts as a print, as does calendars.
Yep.
Calendars is another thing that a lot of people do. End of the year, think about it, all those greeting cards. Some people say, I don't like those greeting cards. I like the greeting cards. I like seeing the
pictures,
photos.
Yeah.
I like seeing everybody happy and smiling and looking good. That counts as a print as well.
Yes.
Whatever works for you, but just make sure that you do something.
Awesome. Well, hey, where can they go find out more information about you?
I get to plug.
Yes.
Okay.
First
of all, do me a favor. Everybody watching right now, check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/PhotoWalksTV. That's my website, PhotoWalksTV.com. I'd be so happy if you'd all subscribe to my channel, so that'd be great. PhotoWalksTV.com, JeffersonGraham.net. You can find me on Twitter at Jefferson Graham.
And you have a podcast too.
I do. It's called the iPhone Photo Show, and you can find the link to it right there.
Yes. Yeah, so
and
there you
I
go.
Understand join that them. Eric is going to join me soon on my podcast as well.
Might be. We'll see. Yeah. So definitely go check out what Jefferson's doing over there. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow that podcast. It's great if you are an iPhone user and you're looking for that information about how to use your iPhone. Just kind of keep up with the news too. You do a lot of the news stuff with it.
Yeah.
So just keeping up with the iPhone. Definitely want to check that out. All right. Well, that wraps up the show today. We actually have 1 minute and 10 seconds left.
Oh, does that mean I can take a picture of the monitor?
We can definitely take a picture of the monitor.
Oh.
We can tell Scott that we actually finished on time. We did not go over. I do have to, you know, we got 57 more seconds. So what can we say, Jefferson, in the next 57 seconds?
So are you from Florida?
Seconds?
Were you born in Florida?
I am not born in Florida.
Where were you born, Eric?
New York.
New York. That's funny. Yes. I grew up in New York, but I was born in Indiana.
Yes, there you go.
Okay. Where in New York were you born?
You know, I was born in upstate New York. So
Binghamton,
not...
Syracuse, Ithaca.
Binghamton, you hit it.
Okay. I lived in Binghamton.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
For a short while.
Oh, there you go. And you know who else lived near Binghamton, our family lived? Is we just showed a shot of him over there, Jason. In our control room. So we have, we've definitely shared some love of Speedies and all that stuff from upstate New York.
Okay. So 15 seconds to go.
15 seconds to go.
I live in LA, by the way, in case you wanted to know.
And Jefferson, where would you say your favorite place is to visit?
My favorite place to visit, I think that Paris is the greatest city in the world. How about that?
I agree. All right. Well, we're 3 seconds over, so we're going to wrap up the show now. So definitely we want to see you at that iPhone photography conference, which, speaking of, that was interesting that they were just shooting
with an iPhone
remotely back to the control room.
Yeah.
I've never seen them do that before, but that was pretty cool. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. Scott will be back from B&H conference. I'm sure we'll have a lot of news for you. And check out Jefferson's podcast and websites. Make sure you subscribe. And we'll see you all back here on the grid Wednesday at 1 p.m.